Hello, and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And today we are trucking along with Degrassi Junior High Season 1. It's kind of a rough
Woo!
one.
The acting is definitely happening on that show. I don't know if it's good, but they're trying their hardest.
Yeah. I feel like this episode's going to be very short because there isn't really much with these characters.
Yeah, I think kind of tying into what you said last time, where the actors and their characters don't have as many plots. They're kind of just like either one and done, or they're kind of spread throughout. Like Joey never has like a true plot almost. Like he's just like in everybody else's business and stuff. So, whereas like with other Degrassi that we've done, it's easier. Because they usually continue plots longer than an episode. So for us, we're kind of just trying to like dig for specific things that are happening.
Yeah, like I was thinking specifically with this group of characters, which, if you haven't read the title, is Arthur, Yik, Melanie, and LD. Like, what I kind of realized about all these middle school plots is that with middle school issues, like I was thinking about like Ned's Declassified, that TV show from a while back, right? Like,
Yeah.
that was kind of a similar type of concept, I would say, as Degrassi Junior High, where it's like specifically middle school and like it's the fringy middle school problems. But Ned's Declassified was like kind of goofy, right? And it was funny.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of more entertaining, I would say. Not that these episodes aren't entertaining, but it's like kind of too realistic. Like, it's not dramatically realistic, like kind of high school plots, where it's like, even though this is done realistically, it's still entertaining because it's a dramatic, like, relationship plot line or whatever. Whereas middle school plots, like, pretty much everything that Arthur and Yik do, right? They're all very grounded in reality, which for middle school problems isn't very entertaining to watch. Even if like it is, told truthfully to how these things would happen in real life.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think the actors being so young, and like I'm guessing a lot of them, this is their first time, it makes it a little drawn out to watch. And none of them are at that point where. Except for, I would probably say, Joey's actor, where they feel comfortable enough to either improv or like crack a joke that's like outside of their lines. I just don't think they're there yet,
Right.
unfortunately. Like, JT was just so funny because that was like who he was supposed to be and whatever. We don't really have that besides Joey, I would say.
Right. And I think we'll talk about this later, but Arthur and Yik are very much the OG JT and Toby, right?
Yeah.
But JT and Toby were like you said, JT is very fun, very goofy. Whereas I would say Yik is the JT equivalent. And I really like Yik, but
Yeah.
he's not like funny,
I'm not gonna be slapping my knee after he's on TV.
Right. It's like Yik is not going to pretend to be gay and be like, hey, Liberty girlfriend,
Yeah. True.
So I feel bad that we're just shitting on this season so bad, but
I mean, you know what? Think about it this way. It's their first go. I feel like any show's first season is always a little rough, except for Next Gen. That one was great, but
you hated season one.
love it so much. Well, it was better than I don't know what other seasons I hated, but nah, you're right. They gotta just come into it, you know? They're coming into who they are. They're doing their best. Like, I'm excited to watch season two. Let's just say that. Let's just get this over with, this season over with and done, and then we can move on and it'll be great.
Yes. So, like we said, this episode is going to be Arthur, Yik, Melanie, and LD. And since Arthur and Yik are the B plot kings. They have the most plots of the entire season, actually.
The B plot kings, that's so good.
So we're just gonna get Melanie and LD out the way. So the first episode with them is, or at least with Melanie, is Melanie and Kathleen are curious about taking drugs for the first time. They're like, we're in middle school now. It's like time to take some drugs. And Joey overhears them talking about wanting to do drugs, and he offers to sell them some that he got from his cousin or whatever. And of course, in classic Degrassi fashion, he gives them vitamin pills, not actual drugs. And the girls take them and become placebo high, basically. They have a really good time being fake high, so they end up getting some other people involved, and Joey ends up starting a little empire of selling all of his classmates vitamin pills. But at the, it seems like it was like the, what's it called, milkshake shop or diner or whatever it was, Melanie overhears Joey telling Stephanie that he is scamming all of the grade sevens with vitamins. So she gets everybody to confront Joey, get their money back, and they lock him into a closet as revenge. After that is Melanie is upset that her mom doesn't think that she is ready for her first bra, even though Melanie thinks that she is developing and needs one. So LD, being a good friend, decides to take Melanie to the store to get her a bra. The next day, when Melanie is wearing it at school, the boys start making fun of her for it because they're like, oh, where'd you get those boobs overnight or whatever? Like, are you stuffing your shirt? So Melanie gets very insecure. At the same time, LD is upset at the boys because the boys are claiming that boys are better than girls at sports. So she challenges the boys' soccer team to a swim race. The boys know that they're going to lose, so they try and recruit Snake to the team because he is very tall. So that's apparently makes him good at swimming. And they do this by trying to bribe him by saying, like, if you help us out in this girls versus boys thing, we'll get you on the soccer team. However, Snake doesn't go through with it. And while he's like kind of sitting on the school steps, Melanie comes out being insecure. And he and Melanie have a talk about, like, oh, you shouldn't be insecure. Who cares about what those stupid guys think? Because of this, Melanie had kind of jumped out of the swimming race because she didn't want to be in a bathing suit in front of everybody. But after her talk with Snake, she decides to join the race and she helps the girls win. The final thing in the season with Melanie is that the school snake gets loose and Melanie is afraid of it. So she starts wearing some big, ugly boots to, I guess, prevent the snake from biting her. So because of these big, ugly boots, Melanie gets teased by the other kids and they also try and scare her with a rubber snake. And of course, at the end of the episode, the snake gets found. And then in that same episode, on LD's side, she is upset that now that she's getting older, she's hit puberty, her dad doesn't want her to help at his mechanic shop anymore. Whereas previously, she would help out with like fixing the cars and stuff. So she's like complaining about her dad, blah, 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 blah. But when she gets home, she finds out that her dad is in the hospital. I forget what happened. It was like he threw his back out or something. But anyway, LD gets very anxious about her dad being in the hospital because a couple of years back, her mom died in the hospital. She was in the hospital for a very long time, I think with cancer, and she ultimately died. So because of this, LD is very anxious about hospitals and she is very worried about going to visit her dad. So she kind of continues to make excuses about visiting her dad, and she does go to the hospital at one point, but she gets scared and just drops her flowers off at the front desk and runs away. But Vula and Spike, being LD's friends, they kind of get the class together to buy flowers for LD's dad. And when they go deliver the flowers, they find out that LD hasn't visited yet. So Vula goes to LD to talk to her to ask what's going on. LD explains what happened, and this kind of gives LD the courage to go and see her dad. But of course, as soon as she goes to see her dad, he has just been discharged. So he's all good, and LD conquered her fears, I guess. And that's really it.
Yay, so good. Do you wanna start with Melanie?
Sure.
So I love this one, the plot of doing drugs in like seventh grade.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't even think I knew what drugs were, but different environments, I guess. I thought it was so funny that it was vitamin pills, though. And that they were like pretending to be high in class.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you feel anything? And they're like, oh yeah, do you though? And they're like, oh yeah, I guess.
Well, this is the OG fake drugs plot, right?
That's so true.
Like, when else do they do the fake drugs? They did it with JT and Toby with the ecstasy,
Yep.
Tristan and Miles and the basketball team. Was there anything else?
No, I don't think so. Not that I
Yeah,
can.
I think those are the only two. So this is the original.
The OG drug plot. Well, there were no drugs involved in this, though,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah,
Or poor.
it was just a fun plot. Like you said, I'm just surprised that they were like, "Oh, I'm 12 now. I need to take drugs."
That's, yeah, I think that's kind of where I wish that they expanded on some things more with what the characters like decide to do. I think we don't get really any background except for like Melanie basically saying, oh, now that I'm 12, I want to do drugs. It's like, but like, why? Like, what's driving you to this? Like, I want to know that part of it.
Yeah. Like, when did like the quote unquote war on drugs start? That was around this time, right?
Well, I don't think they had it in Canada.
Well, but the culture is definitely like pretty
Oh,
extreme, right?
the war on drugs culture in Canada. I have no idea. Let's
Like,
see.
I'm just thinking about like we had DARE in like elementary school, right? Where they tried to scare us away from drugs. So not that, like, I mean, I know some people who did do drugs in middle school.
Out.
So it's not like uncommon, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would say most middle schoolers are not like trying to do drugs because, at least for our generation, we were kind of scared away from them when we were kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. It also seems like the war on drugs in Canada started in 1982 and was enacted, and then like legislation was brought on in like 1988 and then 1989, and I don't really know when was this filmed? 80s?
Yeah, this is late 80s.
Okay, so it's
Around
probably around
pandemic.
that time. So that might be even like a hotter topic.
Yeah. So
Actually.
maybe that's why they're like, I'm so eager to do drugs. The government is trying to take them away. So they must
Huh.
be a good time, you know?
That's kind of where this season's a little bit of a bummer is that we like literally have to have a conspiracy on why they brought up something because we just like have no idea. They're just like, we want to try drugs, which like maybe that's it. Maybe that's just like how kids are. They're like, that looks cool. I want to do it.
Yeah, like I feel like the kids that do drugs in middle school, it's usually from like an older sibling type of deal, right?
Older sibling, they got something going on at home.
Right.
Like, we don't know anything about Melanie and Kathleen. Well, we know Kathleen's got to stick up her butt, but that's about it.
Yeah, so I feel like being curious about drugs is one thing, but then like, you know, actively searching out to do drugs. I guess they weren't actively searching. Joey just kind of gave it to them on a silver platter.
Right? He's just gonna screw with them, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't think they would have gone out to like get drugs on their own, you know? So,
I don't think so either.
like, if without Joey, it probably would have just been like them talking shit about drugs during lunchtime, you know?
Yeah.
Like nothing like serious, like, oh, I wonder what it's like to do drugs, you know?
Yeah, because none of them actually do drugs like this whole season, right?
No.
Okay. See, that's the thing. I feel like if anything, they should be like, I want to drink. Because in
Yeah.
Canada, it's like, that's a younger age. Like, I don't know.
Well, they do have drinking in this season.
Oh, yeah, true. And
with
Stephanie
Stephanie.
gets turned at the dance. I
Yeah,
forgot about.
so we'll talk about that next time for sure. But yeah, in terms of like hard drugs, I don't know if 80s Degrassi ever does hard drugs besides like weed.
Well, yeah, they do because that's when what's his name jumps off
Oh, you're so
the bridge. Sorry, I forgot what his name was.
Shane.
Shane, yeah, that's when Shane does like acid and like jumps off the
Right,
bridge.
you're so right. I don't know if there's anything else though.
No, that's enough for me, honestly. Nothing else.
Yeah, that's all I got for the drugs.
All right, then just keep on moving.
Okay, I will say I did really like the Melanie being insecure about her boobs plot.
Okay, why do you say that?
Well, like I'm always like a fan of the puberty plots in general,
You
right?
should.
And I don't know, I feel like maybe not necessarily the my mom won't let me get a bra thing, but Melanie feeling insecure about her body because other people are making fun of her for it.
Yeah, I think that that's it's just so relatable almost to like anybody, except the boys were like so mean. They were so mean about it. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure if she had walked into like Victoria's Secret and been like, I would like a bra, and I saw this when I worked there, they'd be like, no, sorry. There's like nothing. There's no reason for you to have one.
Don't they have training bras?
Yeah, but even then, it's just like you get used to wearing something, I guess. Just not. So, but it was cute for her to like overcome that.
Yeah, I especially liked Snake.
Yeah,
Like,
me
I'm
too.
a huge fan of Melanie and Snake.
Whoa.
So like seeing kind of the start of that and Snake being the only decent man in this entire episode was pretty nice to see.
Right? It's just so, it was cute when he was like, they wouldn't even let me on, or they didn't even want me really on the team. It's just because, like, I'm tall and I can swim, and he just has no issue admitting it.
So kind of having them form that connection off of kind of similar insecurities, I thought was very cute.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's cute.
And in general, I feel like, I don't know if I've said this before, but in general, I like all the puberty plots because I feel like it's not something that media really ever talks about. Like maybe whenever people talk about puberty, it's maybe unlike Nickelodeon shows, for example, it's oh, you smell, so you need to take a shower. I feel like that's the extent of how puberty is discussed in like more kids' television.
I agree. Or it goes like, I think I'm ready for this. And then they find out in a ridiculous way that they're not. And they're like, well, I guess I'm just not there yet. Or it's like, or you could be. And that's the whole point of this.
So I do like how grounded this episode in particular was, I guess is my point.
I liked it too. I thought that the tie-in with the swimming and boys versus girls and like girls aren't as good also tied into like the girls are insecure and like swimming is a pretty like I don't know for a high school kid I would never have gotten into a bathing suit in front of my peers. Thank God we didn't have a pool in our high school. That's all I gotta say. So I liked it. I think that was honestly one of my favorite episodes. Like I watched the whole thing and I'm like, this isn't bad. This isn't boring. Like I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say this is probably my favorite episode of the season.
Aww.
And in general, with Melanie, she's my favorite character of the season. Like, she's like, compared to all the other characters, she is actually genuinely funny.
I think so too. I find her very entertaining.
Like, she's super cute and spunky. She's able to speak up against Kathleen. Sorry, Caitlin, but you cannot say a thing to Kathleen.
Right? No.
So I'm a big Melanie fan. Yeah, that's really it.
Okay. Oh yeah, did you want to talk about the snake getting loose at all? I don't really know if there was much. I mean, I guess that you can see the growth from like the bra to the boots.
I guess so. But like honestly, I forgot during the episode that the snake thing was happening. Because like I feel like there's maybe 2 or 3 minutes in the whole episode dedicated to that plot.
Yeah.
What episode does that happen in? I think it's the same episode as LD and her dad, right?
Yeah, it's like a very weird mix.
Yeah. And I feel like there's 25 minutes dedicated to LD, and then like maybe you have 30 second interludes of the snake thing. Like throughout the actual episode, I forgot that this snake was roaming around Degrassi. You know, I was like, oh, right, there's a snake on the loose while
Its name,
LD's dad is
too?
dying.
It was weird. Wasn't it like Artemis or something?
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh. Never mind.
Yeah, so that was like the most nothing plot of the nothing plots in this season to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was like a very strange side plot. I wasn't sure like what the point was.
Yeah, if I feel like it feels like it was just, you know, the funny side plot when something more serious is going on that Degrassi likes to do.
You're not wrong. That's totally it.
Yeah, but in this case, I didn't even really find it fun. It was just like, okay, the school snake is in the boiler room, or I forget where they even found it, but I was like,
Oh
what
no,
is this?
it was in the freaking cage the whole time. They were like, it's been in here the whole time. Like, where did you look?
Yeah.
Like,
Was it
obviously not.
camouflaging?
Right? So dumb.
I think we've spent more time talking about the snake than the actual episode spent on the snake. So.
Hey, I'm just trying to, add something to this because there isn't much to it.
So, how did you feel about LD either in the boys versus girls thing or with her dad dying but not actually dying?
I think that it's interesting that both plots have to do with her wanting to basically not like be a boy. That's wrong. I think both plots have to deal with her trying to figure out like the tomboy part of her life because she wants to be a tomboy, but then she's also like, oh, I'm told by like my brothers and my dad that like you're a girl and like girls can't do anything. And then like the episode with her dad was all about how he wanted her to like be a girl and like do girl things, which I think is the most consistent thing that's happened over episodes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cute at the end, obviously, where they, come together. Her dad like gives her the hat. He's like, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. Now would have been a time to have a lesbian character, in my opinion, but
Yeah. Honestly, I could also see LD being a trans guy.
ooh, also a good plot twist. I like that.
But I know LD and Lucy is a popular crack ship.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything with them as friends in this season, but I think in future seasons, LD and Lucy are pretty good friends, and people are like, oh, yes, I see it.
I
So,
mean, she would have been a good one for that
yeah.
Miss whatever plot.
For sure. But yeah, I do like what you said about the whole tomboy thing, because it's so true. Like, I have a friend, Lexi. Lexi does not listen to this podcast. Maybe I'll have to tell her. But
Shout out.
Lexi turned out to be a lesbian, and she was also a huge tomboy.
True. That's true.
So our good friend Lexi kind of also had to go through this whole puberty hits, and people were like, be a girl. But like, just let girls be themselves, whether they like stereotypically boyish or girl things, who cares?
Right. But yeah, I think that was kind of a cute little plot to show that too, is that she wants to be one way. And it just stinks that, well, okay, actually, let me ask you this. Did you feel like she was avoiding the hospital because she was scared of hospitals, or was she more like avoiding because she knew that she was like making her dad upset by still wanting to be like to do boy things? Or is it like a little bit of both?
I feel like it was definitely more, not that she was like scared of hospitals,
Yeah.
but she was afraid of being in the same situation as her mom was.
Okay.
Because,
Yeah.
like, I feel like half that episode was just like flashbacks to
Right.
Ellie's mom being in the hospital. They're like, oh, she's gonna be fine. She's gonna be fine. Months later, she's not gonna be fine.
Yeah,
So
she's not doing good.
I feel like LD was just maybe not necessarily afraid of hospitals, but she was afraid of being in that people are lying to me like phase again.
Okay.
But even then, I did feel like this plot was very long and drawn out because her dad's life was never in danger. You know, like he was just in the hospital because he threw out his back, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Like, I don't think
Like,
he was injured or anything or like terminally ill, you know?
yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that he was like, I don't really have to do much. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah. So that's where I was like, okay, for a 12-year-old's mind, like maybe they're overreacting for sure. But as a viewer, I was like, girl. He's not even dying. Calm down.
He's not even okay, but you remember when you were 12, like so dramatic. Well, I was dramatic. I don't know if you were dramatic, but I feel like I would have thought the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like it took her a long time to get to the point where she could visit, you know?
Yeah, like it's crazy that her friends went and visited and like didn't tell her,
Right.
which was weird. Like, I get it. Because maybe they were like felt like they were as close, but it definitely ratted her out for being, well, they didn't tell her dad that she wasn't even that busy, but still weird.
Yeah. Mostly I was just like, I love Vula. Vula is such a good friend this entire
Aw.
time. So
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
that was like the saving grace of this plot for me. I was like, Vula continuing to be the queen that she is.
Lula, we love her.
But otherwise, I was like, okay, her dad is fine. We knew that was going to happen because he wasn't dying. So end of episode.
Right. Anything else for either Melanie or LD?
No.
I know you said this is going to be a quick one, and I think you are right. But to be fair, they didn't give us a lot to work with, so.
No. Nope.
At least Arthur and Yik does. This is going to be like a flashback to when you have like really long intros.
Yes, so let's get into it. So, in the very first episode of Degrassi Junior High, it's the first week of school, and Arthur and his sister Stephanie do not live together. Their parents recently divorced. Stephanie lives with her mom. Arthur lives with the dad. And Stephanie wants to completely dissociate from Arthur because he is a grade seven and he's a nerd. So it does not fit her image. So Stephanie pretends to not know him. And all alone in the hallways of Degrassi, Arthur gets found by Joey, who decides to introduce him to Degrassi by taking him to a closet and locking him in there to initiate him into Degrassi. Ick, cute little Asian boy, rescues him from the closet, and they become fast friends because they are both in Miss Avery's class, and they team up together to try and avoid Joey's tyranny. So later on, Joey is stuffing Arthur in a locker, and Stephanie actually stops him from doing so. She doesn't say why, but she's like, Joey, stop being an asshole. So, because of this, at the end of this episode, Stephanie has lost her friend Vula, even though she won the school presidency. So, Arthur kind of comforts Stephanie, saying, like, oh, I could help you with president things, being like a cute little sibling moment. Soon after that is Yik's first plot, where in Mr. Radish's English class, Mr. Radich is pretty much bullying Yik every single day, saying he is Yik the disorganized and basically calling him stupid and that he doesn't try hard enough. So Yik thinks that Mr. Radich is stereotyping him. And Arthur then has the idea to submit one of Stephanie's old papers from the last year, unedited, just to see if Mr. Radish will give him the same grade. So Yik does this, and it actually works. He ends up getting a better grade than Stephanie did, actually. So he's like, oh, let's just keep doing this. Like, if Mr. Radich is too lazy to change the assignments, I might as well just submit Stephanie's past work. But the second time, Mr. Radich catches on, and he ends up giving Yik and Arthur detention. So Arthur and Yik end up fighting during detention. Arthur saying, like, oh, Yik, maybe you should actually try. Yik being mad at Arthur for giving him the papers in the first place. So the narrative kind of paints Arthur as being in the right in this situation, saying, like, Yik, maybe you should actually try a little harder. So the detention assignment, I guess, was to write an essay, and Yik actually put some effort in, and Mr. Radich likes it. So Mr. Radich calls for a fresh slate between them, and that he will stop calling Yik the disorganized. Mr. Radish shouldn't be bullying his students, but whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Radish would have got fired if he pulled that stuff now.
Yeah. The next episode with them is that Arthur and Yik are upset that they have not grown recently. So they see Snake being fucking 6 feet tall. They're like, what's up with that guy? Why is he so tall? How do we get to be like him? So they kind of stalk Snake around Degrassi and around town to see what he eats. They buy like a candy bar that he got at the grocery store. They're like, oh, this is gonna be nutritious and get us tall. And it, of course, doesn't work. So they finish the episode hanging themselves from like a pull-up bar, being like, we're gonna let gravity do its thing to get us tall. So another stupid episode. Okay. Next one is that Yik cannot find the money that his dad gave him. It was like $100 or something. And the boys, Arthur and Yik, suspect that it is Rick who stole the money because Rick has a bad reputation. And in the same episode, Rick is going around saying that he won the lottery and handing out licorice to everybody. So now they decide to stalk Rick around to get evidence that he is a thief. And Rick, of course, is like, why the fuck are you following me? And at the end of the episode, Rick finds that the money is in his very messy locker. So I guess a lesson in stereotyping? Who knows? But anyways, after that is the best plot, in my opinion, where Yik gets the iconic Swamp Sex Robots VHS tape from his older brother. And the boys make a plan to watch Swamp Sex Robots together Friday night while Arthur and Stephanie's mom is on a date and Stephanie is planning to be out with Wheels. However, when the day comes, Stephanie's date basically ends up going badly. Everybody ends up showing up to the mom's house, like at the same time. The mom's date, Wheels, and then all the boys that Yik invited to Arthur's house to watch this movie. So Arthur and Yik, of course, get in trouble for this. And they never end up watching Swamp Sex Robots, unfortunately. Okay, after that is Yik needs to present something for class, basically like a family tree, like something important to my family type of thing. Show and tell project. But Yik doesn't have any important family heirlooms because his family immigrated from Vietnam and they didn't really bring any belongings with them. And he is also kind of insecure about being an immigrant and doesn't want to tell that story. So he ends up buying a very cheap vase and plans to say that it's a family heirloom, but Arthur ends up accidentally breaking it. I forget why he even wanted it, but Arthur breaks it and he spends a couple days trying to fix it. It's actually kind of cute how hard he tried, but he is not able to glue together this vase. So Yik gets mad at him for it, but it basically ends up with Yik telling his family story about being fresh off the boat, all that stuff. And like the whole class is pretty impressed. So it ends pretty well for Yik. And I would say that's my actual favorite episode of theirs. Okay, two episodes left. Yik then has a crush on Melanie, and Arthur encourages him to ask her out, saying, "What could go wrong?" So he tries it and flubs it up a couple times. He has the iconic, "Your eyes look like pimming swools." But at the end of the episode, he ends up successfully asking her out, and they have a good time going ice skating. And finally, in the last episode of the season, the entire grade 7 class are mad that Stephanie is an awful president and completely ignores all of the grade 7s. So if this kind of reaches a boiling point when one of the classical grade 7 positions, I think it was the sports rep, is like vacant, and they're expecting somebody in grade 7 to get the spot. But Stephanie ends up giving the spot to Joey to make Wheels jealous. So this causes the entire grade 7 class to revolt against Stephanie, and they try to impeach her. So they kind of confront her at the bathroom where she always does her makeup at the beginning of every day. And they're like, "Down with Stephanie. She's an awful president." And basically, this causes Stephanie to realize she is a bad person. And yeah, basically, nothing gets resolved. She doesn't get impeached. But at the end of the episode, Stephanie starts being nice to Arthur again, saying, like, "You know, you're actually kind of a good brother." So that was a bit more on Stephanie's side, but it does involve Stephanie and Arthur's relationship. So I did want to bring that in there.
Okay. How did it feel doing a long one again?
I need a drink.
Right, let's start with the do you want to go by episode? The Kiss Me Steph?
Well, I guess in general, I feel like there isn't much to say specifically about any of these episodes, but how do you feel in general about Arthur and Yik?
Oh, I love their friendship. I think it's so cute. They
Yeah.
seem like they're legit friends, which is weird to say, like, 'cause why wouldn't they be? But you've seen the way that Joey treats like Wheels and Snake, and like he jokes around a lot, but he's not like a super great friend in that sense. Whereas like Yik and Arthur are just so cute, especially when they like get into like a little fight, or like for example when Arthur asks Yik to teach him how to play basketball. And Yik's like, "We're friends. Like, why wouldn't I?" I'm like, "Aw,
Yeah, it was
you
very
guys
cute.
are."
Arthur's like a good friend also. Like
Yeah.
he's very like I feel like Yik is the one who had like the deeper plots. I mean, as deep as the plots get in this season, you know? But like you know, with the teacher bullying and the being insecure about his family thing. And Arthur was very supportive of him through both of those episodes, and like even saying like, "Why are you doing this stupid thing when like it's obvious what the right thing to do is?" You know, like he has a very good head on his shoulders, even though his sister's a bitch. And
Nice.
yeah, Arthur's just a really cool guy. I wouldn't say I like him necessarily.
No?
Maybe I do. I guess I like him more than Toby, who is his like, you know, parallel.
Toby was always trying to get, like, I don't know. I didn't really love Toby that much either. I think Arthur doesn't have that creepy vibe as much. Not to be rude, but let's be real. Toby was pretty creepy for a
Yeah,
little
like
bit.
Arthur's just kind of the nerdy kid. There's not much more to him. I feel like he takes the fact that his sister bullies him very well.
Well, okay, even like bringing up Toby, the fact that both Arthur and Toby have, well, I guess it's not a step sibling because Ashley and him are step siblings, right? Technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have like the split parents. They have the like weird relationship between the sister and the brother. They're basically a mirror. They really just were like, what should we do for this character? Let's just make him Arthur, but now.
Well, I mean, literally, because Stephanie and Ashley are both class presidents.
Yep.
I guess Toby fights Ashley for the presidency, but Arthur is kind of supportive of her presidency. So I guess there's
Yeah.
that difference. But yeah, Arthur, even though Stephanie is so mean to him all the time, he's like always good to her despite that.
Right? Like, he's such a nice guy.
Which is kind of like it's a little weird to me because I feel like siblings, the whole thing is that they do fight, you know?
Yeah.
So also the fact that they look nothing alike. Like Arthur's a ginger, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but like, I guess, yeah, there is that part. So it's gonna be like Ashley and Toby, but like we just said they're not actually related.
Yeah, so that's where I'm like, I like the dynamic, at least of like, you know, Stephanie's awful and Arthur's like, okay, cool. I don't care. I
Yeah.
would have liked Arthur to maybe fight back a bit more because that's how siblings actually function.
Oh, I totally agree because also him being such like a pushover at the end when she's like, "Do you want to walk home together?" And he's like, "Yeah." I want him to be like, "No." Just say no to Stephanie.
Yeah.
But he like looks up to her a lot. It's kind of it's cute in like that sense, like the brotherhood sisterhood stuff like that, but
But yeah, besides like his relationship with Stephanie and being a good friend to Yick, I don't really have much else to say about Arthur. He's just kind of, you know, like I said, the king of the B plots of the middle school plots, you know.
yep, King of B plots for real.
But Yick, on the other hand, I really enjoy.
Big fan. I think
Yeah.
he's probably one of the better actors too.
Yes, for sure.
He's one of the better actors. He has a very interesting backstory with the being refugees, basically.
Yeah, it's really interesting how he's not like first generation, like he was actually part of the immigration itself. So I
Do
thought that
you
was interesting.
did they ever say where he immigrated from?
Vietnam.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Which
Yeah.
is insane. That's so far. That's such a trip.
Yeah. So that's like something that I think is going to be something to keep in mind, at least when he starts growing up, and see how that informs his character at all, if at all.
Yeah, I also was thinking about how we, like Degrassi in this season, never really touched anything race related. Am I wrong?
In this season?
In season one, yeah. Did they do anything race related with either Yick or Lucy or.
Not really, no.
Which honestly, I kind of like. I'm like, I think they're just so young that I wouldn't want to watch that, even though, you know, it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. But Degrassi did the Muslim thing and within like episode two or three for which character?
For Hazel?
Yeah. Wasn't that in the first season?
That was season two.
Oh shoot. Never mind then. I was thinking comparing it that way, but I guess
I
I'm
don't
wrong.
think season one of The Next Generation had any race plots either.
I was gonna say they didn't really have a very diverse group either.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed, that Degrassi Junior High is a lot more diverse.
Yeah, it's more reflective of a city school, which is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not in other seasons.
And I feel like that's probably a product of like 80s Degrassi was cast with kids off the street, whereas The Next Generation was like maybe not established actors, like you're not an established actor when you're 12, right? But like it was through like an acting agency, you know? So even though we're kind of shitting on the acting, it kind of makes sense
I
because.
didn't realize that they pulled them off the street.
Yeah, that's the whole thing where it's like Linda Skyler was like, yeah, we had a sign in the window saying kids wanted. They're like, that wouldn't fly today.
That's so good. Kids wanted.
So yeah, I really like how diverse Degrassi Junior High is.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then for Yick himself, you know, as the parallel to JT, we already kind of mentioned how he's not maybe as class clowny as JT,
Yeah.
but I do like his Mr. Raditz plots and especially his family plot. So
Yeah, I thought the family plot was so different. I really enjoyed it.
What plots did you not care about? I didn't care about the I want to be tall plot.
Yeah, I didn't really care much about that.
Oh, swamp sex robots. We got to talk about that.
Oh yeah, your favorite. That's so funny. It basically, I mean, it reminded me of when Spinner and like them were like, we have to watch porn. Whatever, I feel like this was kind of like a G-rated version of that.
Well, JT and Toby also did that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that too. It was honestly pretty funny. I was kind of into it, and I feel like it was which is not usually what I'm into for these types of plots.
Well, because I guess the point of the plot was like just everything fell apart. As opposed to like JT and Toby, they actually watched the porn
And
and
then got caught.
then they got caught. Whereas Arthur got caught before they even watched it, you know?
Yeah, which is so, it's so funny.
I am
And
curious, like what is Swamp Sex Robots about? Like, I'm just so curious.
it's about sex robots that live in a swamp, Jasper, obviously. No, I think that it was even funnier because it's just so ridiculous. Like
Yeah.
the name of it, like all of it, the fact that it didn't work out. I think that's why I just like them because they're so goofy. And then Stephanie, of course, like the date not working, then everybody coming back to hang out.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I just hope that they get to watch Swamp Sex Robots when they're older.
I'm sure that they somehow figured out how to get away with it and not get caught.
Yeah.
Hopefully, at least.
Or, watch it when they're 18, when they're allowed to.
Yeah, they would never do anything illegal underage.
Never. What else is there? Oh, Yick and Melanie. Kind of a random pairing.
Yeah, I was surprised they picked her because they kind of were hinting so much at her and Snake throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and they continue to do that in the future. I don't think Yick and Melanie continues after this. But yeah, I guess it's just another example of Arthur being a good friend to Yick and encouraging him, and Yick being a bit of a doofus.
Being a bit of a doofus,
I mean,
so
Pimming
true.
Schools. How iconic is Pimming Schools?
I thought that was so funny. When he said it at first, I was like, did he say that? And then they like all made fun. I was like,
Yeah.
great.
But even then, if he said it correctly, like, would I be complimented if somebody said my eyes looked like a swimming pool? I don't know if I would.
That is such a blue eye compliment. I would never get that. If I got that, I'd be like, full of poop? What is
Yeah, I
this?
was like, do my eyes look like chlorine? Like,
Right?
at least
So
say the
silly.
ocean or something.
At least say the ocean or something. That's so good. No, I thought that was cute. I really think that Arthur and Yick together make the show so much more entertaining. I think I would probably feel the same way you do, where you're like iffy about Arthur. I think what it is that you wouldn't like him if it was just him doing these things. Like, because it's him and Yick, it makes it better.
Yes, for sure.
And I did want to mention, because you mentioned this too, how Arthur fixed the vase, or at least attempted to fix the, I think it was a vase, right?
Yeah.
Or at least a statue for Yick after he broke it. And then Yick was like, you're dumb. He's like, this was literally like $3. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but I mean, he thought it was like a priceless family heirloom,
I
so.
know, which was like so cute that he stayed up all night hot, like gluing it together.
Yeah.
Aw. That's where it's like, okay, I'm into it. Very cute.
Yeah. Do you like Arthur and Yick or JT and Toby better?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think before I make like a decision, I think I need to watch another season of them. But as of right now, I think Arthur and Yick treat each other better with more respect than JT ever treated Toby with any respect.
Yes,
like
that's
Yik
exactly.
doesn't that's like basically what I'm thinking. Like Yik didn't have to help Arthur with basketball, but he did because he's a good friend. Whereas like I feel like if Toby was like, hey JT, can you show me how to like play basketball, he'd be like, no, you're dumb or something. Like he just like would not help him out.
Yeah, like, what was it? As soon as Paige gave JT the time of day, he was like, fuck you, Toby. I don't, I still
Right?
love you, but like, I don't want to hang with you anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's not it.
So I forget it. I feel like they aren't best friends forever, Arthur and Yik. But I don't know if they have like a falling out the same way that JT and Toby do.
Yeah, I don't. I almost want to say no because we didn't get enough time with them, honestly. Right? Do they stay through the rest of the.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm always thinking that, like, after the end of the junior high, it's like a different group. I don't know why I thought that. Arthur and Yik stick it out through the whole, what is it, 6 seasons?
5 seasons and a
Five
movie.
seasons. And a movie. The movie is so good. I can't wait for that.
Yes. That's a while away, though.
I know. Who do you think's better? Who do you like better?
Yeah, I basically have the same thought as you, that Arthur and Yik are much better friends to each other than JT and Toby are.
Yeah, I think so.
Even though JT is maybe a bit more entertaining.
A bit more. Yeah, that's the thing. JT's got the humor down, but Yik is, he's not too far behind. He's getting there. He's not as like vulgar. He's just like a funny, I think he's kind of just funny in passing.
Yeah, like I guess I'm thinking like comparing like the JT Miss Hatzilakos episode with the guinea pigs with the Yik Mr. Radish episode. Those are kind of like similar themes where like, hey, you should take things more seriously and put effort into school and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Yik's episode, I was like, I just felt bad for Yik because Mr. Radish was bullying him so bad. Whereas with JT was actually like, yeah, stop being a fucking clown.
Yeah, no, the way that Yik was treated by Radich was like way too far. At first I was like, are we gonna go to a race thing here? Like I wasn't sure where it was gonna go, but then it just was, no, he's just like a bad teacher.
Yeah.
Which is so funny for them to be like, oh, he gave this essay like last year and he graded this one differently. Like I genuinely think if it would be really hard for a teacher to give the exact same grade. But I don't know. Maybe
no,
that's just like me.
I agree.
That's why I think it's so funny that he thought he would get away with it again.
Well, I think he probably could have gotten away with it if like maybe he changed a sentence here and there.
If he like tried.
Yeah, exactly. If he tried.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Is there anything else?
I personally don't have anything else.
Yeah, we already kind of talked about Arthur and Stephanie's sibling relationship. Yeah, they're the kings of middle school plots. I'd say half were decent to good, and the other half was like, I don't fucking care.
I don't care. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like this, I will say this grouping was like a little bit slow. I can't imagine if, I think originally we had them separated, right?
Who?
Arthur, Yik, Melanie, and LD.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing like a grade 7 group and a grade 8 group. Basically it, but then I was like, I think the grade 8 group would have been really long.
That's why I think it'd be so funny. It's like we would have been done in like 10 minutes if we had it like separated a little bit more.
But yeah, this is the end of the grade 7s at least. And we have the actual interesting part of the season coming up next time with Queen Stephanie, as well as, you know, Vula, Wheels, Lucy, Joey, of course.
I like it. Oh, you didn't put Snake on there.
Snake doesn't have any plots.
What? You don't want to include when he was like, I'm not athletic, I'm just tall. The little running soccer swimming plot.
You already talked about that.
I know. You just left him out. I feel like he you gotta throw his name on there, even if he doesn't really have anything.
He'll get stuff soon.
Oh,
He
all
gets the
right.
next 20 years on Degrassi. He could lose out one season.
Okay, that's honestly fair.
But yeah, that's all we got for right now. We'll see you
Woohoo.
next time for our season one finale. Very exciting
Woohoo.
because we will be getting to season two quicker.
And
So thank you for listening.
we'll see you soon.